Well, I'm torn right now on my message. I really am. And time is short. You're all hungry. One thing I noticed, I appreciate Pastor Horry putting that picture up there of the baptism.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out where that young guy went. I also noticed that tie that I'm wearing, I still wear that tie, so I'm going to have to go home and throw that tie out. I didn't realize it was that old. So it must be a good tie. It's not wearing out. All right. All right. I want you to take your Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter number 28. This is the message the Lord gave me the other day, and I guess we're still supposed to preach it. We have been in the English church at 11 o'clock looking at through the seven I ams that Christ uttered in John's Gospel. And we will pick that up, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. And go from there. But we're kind of taking a break today from that as we have a joint service. It is Harvest Sunday. Tomorrow, the world will celebrate Halloween. And so this has been on my heart and mind. And I trust that what we say today, you will, as Christians, as believers of the Word of God, accept and look at and take a serious look at what God has to say. In 1 Samuel chapter number 28, in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know that thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head over thee. Now Samuel was dead. Now Samuel was the prophet who was given to his mother Hannah when she prayed for a baby, back when women used to pray for babies. And he was the prophet who anointed Saul to be king over Israel. He was the prophet who anointed David to be king and to replace Saul because of his disobedience. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city, and Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land." I want you to notice that phrase. And Saul, when he became king, what he had done is he had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Now, what does that mean, familiar spirits and wizards? Well, it simply means he got rid of all the fortune tellers, he got rid of all the witches, he got rid of all the warlocks, he got rid of all the Ouija boards, he got rid of all the tarot cards, he got rid of all the occultism, and everything got purged from the land. They were not allowed to be in the land of Israel. It was illegal for them to practice their satanic rituals, and that's all that really is, my friend, is nothing but purely Satanism. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And Saul inquired of the Lord. The Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And the reason God is not answering Saul's prayers is because Saul had rejected God years earlier. Saul had disobeyed God, and they were no longer on speaking terms. It's a terrible place to be when you're not on speaking terms with Almighty God. Then Saul said unto his servants, "Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment and went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, "I pray thee, divine unto me by thy familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall say unto thee." And the woman said unto him, "Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die?" And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord liveth, there shall be no punishment happen to thee for this thing." Then said the woman, "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me Samuel." And the woman saw Samuel. She cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said, I saw. And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. By the way, what she's seeing is the spirit realm. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, you better believe in the spirit realm. And what she sees is gods. Now, that word, don't be deceived by that word gods. It's not talking about powerful deities. It's talking about demonic spirits. And he said to her, what form is he of? And he said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Let's stop our reading there for the moment time, pray, and we'll get to our message. Father, bless the time, bless the hour now. We pray this be a blessing. Thank you, Lord. It's been a good day. The songs, the music, the hymns, the gifts, the love of the church have been tremendous. And I do not want to do anything to quench the Spirit of God as he works to move today. Help me to say that and be attentive to his leading. May Christ be honored and glorified. It's in his name we pray. Amen. As we read this story, we read of Saul, who in the end of his life, the Philistines have come to battle against him. His go-to man has been Samuel. Samuel is now dead, and Saul has nowhere to go to find and get in touch with God. God is not answering his prayers. No other prophets will talk to Saul. No other prophet will deal with Saul. And so Saul is basically left on his own, and he's wondering, he's going to go to battle the next day with the Philistines. What's going to happen to him when he goes out to battle? Should he go out to battle? Should I stay back? What's going to happen? And he cannot get an answer from anybody. His spiritual life is in the tank, so to speak. And so he tells his men, find somebody in the countryside that has a familiar spirit. In other words, find me a fortune teller. Find me a witch. That's a strange thing for a man of God to be asking to find a witch in the countryside. That's what he's doing. And he disguises himself, goes down there dressed as a peasant, and when they knock on the witch's door, the woman with the familiar spirit, and that word familiar spirit, again, it's a phrase meaning that she is a woman involved in witchcraft. She's a woman who delves into the occult. She's a woman who delves into the psychic realm. And that's her dealings in life, and God has forbidden Israel to have any part of that lifestyle because of what it opens and the danger of it. And he goes inside, and she says, how can I help you? I need you to basically do your magic. Well, you know, we're not allowed to have familiar spirits here in the world. I know that. You know, King Saul put a death penalty on anybody who'll do that. I know that. But I need you to conjure somebody up from the dead for me. Well, who do you want? I want Samuel. And before she can do anything, before she can say anything, she screams in terror, which is obvious sign that this has never happened to her before, that she actually sees something. And Saul asks her, what is it that you see? And I see these gods. I see the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, there are good spirits, there are bad spirits. And by good spirits, I mean there are God's angels. And angels are angels. Angels are not grandma and grandpa and dead relatives. Angels are the beings that God created before he made man. And part of those angels rebelled against God and with Lucifer. And we have the demons from them, or the Bible calls them devils. And so there's the spirit realm where you have the angels of God and the angels of Satan going back and forth, and there is this going back before heaven and earth in the spirit realm. You say, that's ridiculous. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible has to say and what Jesus has to say on the topic. The same Jesus has said that he'll give you eternal life if you call on him. All these are all found in the same book. And all of a sudden, Samuel appears. Now, there's people arguing and debate whether it's actually Samuel or not. And I believe God allowed Samuel to come back from the place known as Abraham's bosom and to stand there before Saul and the witch. And basically, Samuel tells Saul, because you've done this thing, because you've gone this far down the road in your life, because you've delved so far, and now you're even involved in witchcraft, you've rejected God, you rejected the word of God, now you're involved in witchcraft. I want you to know, God wants you to know that tomorrow when you go to battle, you and your sons are all going to die in battle at the hands of the Philistines. That's what's going to happen to you. And the seance is over. Now, my friend, pure and simple, the child of God has no business being involved in seances. has no business involved with fortune tellers, has no business involved with tarot cards, horoscopes, or any of those things. Ouija boards, they're all not to be meddled with. I know, I think it's Mattel may sell you a Ouija board, may seem like a simple game, but it is not. These are of the occult. Now, I realize it's a strange thing today when Christians preach against Halloween, but there was a time in this country when it seemed strange that Christians participated in Halloween. And we've come full circle in this whole thing. Now, the practice of Halloween is an ancient one, and it never has any roots in Christianity. The Druids from years ago were the pagan priests of the Celts over 2,000 years ago, and these Druids had two main holidays. The Beltane was the mark of the birth of summer, and Samhain, the mark of the end of summer. And at the beginning of the summer, the Celts paid tribute to their sun god, Baal. And at the end of the summer, they would pay tribute to the god of death, who was Samhain. This later ritual for Samhain was Druids' most important ritual of the year, taking place on November 1st. The Druids believed that on Samhain, the veil separating the dead spirits and the living opened up, allowing the dead spirits to visit the living. Frightened by this fact, the Celts believed that some of these evil spirits or fairies or gods would harm them. So they would try to trick them, the spirits, by wearing masks and costume and masquerade as evil spirits themselves, hoping that these evil spirits would leave them alone. You say, oh, preacher, that's ridiculous. Well, is it really? Is it really? The Druids also performed human sacrifices. Anywhere where there's never, wherever there's no Christianity, no God of the Bible, you'll find human sacrifices. My ancestors up in Scandinavia and all over Europe performed human sacrifices. You come to North and South America before Christianity, you find human sacrifices. You go into the land of Israel and Canaan, what were they committing before the Jews showed up? They were finding human sacrifices. God has always forbidden human sacrifices. It's not of God. The society that today we don't have human sacrifices per se, except down at Planned Parenthood. We have them down there all the time. People seem to be upset that they can't have their human sacrifices anymore. After all, this baby's going to be a sacrifice. Yes, it is. You have a child, it's a sacrifice. You give up a lot of things, but you gain so much in having that child, by the way. Well, wasn't planned. Don't give me that. You get involved in certain activities, you're planning on something happening. You don't want to have a baby, you just don't do certain things. It works every time. It's amazing how that works out. Now, these Druids, they performed human sacrifices, and on the eve of Samhain, they would require the firstborn child of the family to be sacrificed. Now, Maddie's not here, but all firstborn, raise your hand. Any firstborn here? Any firstborn, raise your hand. You're gone. A lot of goners here. Raj, I'm sorry, you're gone. Your family would have saved a lot of money on groceries, but I'm gone. All right? But they would require the firstborn child to be sacrificed. They would go door to door asking each family for a child, initiating the first trick-or-treat. Upon receiving the human sacrifice, the Druid priest would leave what we refer to today as a jack-o'-lantern on their doors. This was the treat. Now, history is unclear as to whether this was a literal pumpkin or an actual human skull, which the jack-o'-lantern today is meant to resemble. By the way, when you carve into the jack-o'-lantern or pumpkin, to carve it, you're carving usually a face on that pumpkin. We're going to hand out pumpkins later on. I'm going to make a pie with mine. Make a sacrifice to me, amen. The trick, on the other hand, was given if the family gave no such sacrifices. The Druids would use blood to paint a hexagram on the doorpost, thereby cursing these homes, and then would come back later that night to burn down the house or work some other evil upon the family. There you have trick or treat. In 835 AD, an attempt to recruit pagans into the Catholic Church, Pope Gregory IV turned November 1st into a holiday called All Saints' Day. Also known as All Hallows Day. Hallows, like hallowed be thy name type word. Thus making October 31st All Hallows Eve. That's where the name Halloween comes from. This was when so-called Christianity adopted these dark rituals, customs, and symbols. The word hallow means holy, sanctified, or consecrated. It is a word that is to be attributed to God's name, not Satan. In Matthew 6, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's a word honoring God and his name. It's a word that Satan wants to blaspheme and take for himself. Remember, Satan always wants God's honor. Satan always wants to take from God. You read Isaiah where he says he'll ascend into the heavens. He will sit on the God's throne. He'll be like the Most High God. And he wants to be worshipped. He offered the Lord Jesus Christ all the kingdoms of the earth if the Lord Jesus Christ would just bow down and worship him. One thing Satan wants is worship. And worship he does get from many people. This is how Satan has always operated. He imitates everything God does. As God required the life of the firstborn in the families in Egypt during the first Passover, requiring blood to be put over the doorposts so the death angel would pass by them, so Satan requires the life of the firstborn of the families, putting blood or hexes over the doorpost of those who wanted to be passed by. Make no doubt about it, my friend, Halloween, whether we want to say it's all whatever it is today, it originated as a satanic holiday. That's what it comes from. That's all that it is. You would be hard-pressed to find early Americans celebrating Halloween. It wasn't until more Europeans came over and those of the Catholic nature that Halloween began to grab roots. And more, again, not trying to be offensive or racist or whatever you may say, but as the Irish and the Celts came over and onto the land, more of these customs came with them. Can I encourage you something? Let me remind you of something. I have an ancestry. I have many roots all over Europe. I consider myself a Christian. I hold no allegiance to Poland, to Scotland, to England, to Sweden, or even the United States of America. My allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if my ancestors and people of my nature or my heritage did something evil, it was evil. I don't try to excuse it or adapt it. I'm a child of God now. I walk in light as he is in the light. Amen? That's my goal. I'll talk about my heritage. Whatever they did was good. But if they did something that was bad, it was bad. And many of them died without Christ because they believed in these pagan nonsense. They believed in these gods. My Scandinavian relatives up there with their Norse gods, Thor and Zeus, all of those were false deities that they worshipped hundreds of years ago. And it wasn't until Christianity made its way into those lands that they finally saw the light, understood the gospel, and things changed. Amen. It was Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, who wrote, and this is what the founder of the Satanic Church had to say. He said, "I'm glad that Christian parents let their children worship the devil at least one night out of the year. When you participate in the ritual that is imitating and mocking or fooling demonic spirits, are we having fellowship with devils? We must ask ourselves." Now, one of the saddest stories in the Bible we find here is Saul, who goes down and is having fellowship with devils and going down there to seek a familiar spirit. Now, for sake of time, I've told you already that there are two times, once in 1 Samuel chapter number 13, and then later on in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, King Saul was disobedient and he rejected the word of God. God told him specifically to do something through the prophet Samuel, and both times Saul rejected what God had told him to do. And because he rejected, God then rejected him. I want you to understand that Cain rejected the truth of offering the right type of offering, and he paid for it. The people of Noah's day rejected the preaching of Noah, and they paid for it. The people of Babel rejected the truth that God had from there, and they were dispersed. And the list goes on and on of people who reject God's word. My friend, the Bible is the word of God. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved word of God. You can believe what the Bible has to say. People always say, "Well, the Bible's wrong, the Bible's false." Well, listen, don't ever waste your time trying to defend the Bible. If somebody says the Bible's wrong, just throw it back on them because the burden of proof is on them. Please prove the Bible wrong. How is the Bible a book of lies? How is it fairy tales? Prove it wrong, and they'll usually not come up with much or flimsy arguments that can be easily dismissed by anybody who spent any time in the book. The Bible has been changing lives. The Bible, anywhere the Bible is accepted, loved, and embraced, you have a society that prospers. Right. Anywhere the Bible is rejected, you have darkness and evil. It's just how it goes. Again, you're a child of God. You believe there's God and there's Satan. And these two forces are working very hard this earth. And we see it all today in our society today. He is rejected. Look, if you will, at 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I want to show you some familiar verses. Again, it's a happy day. I don't want to discourage us, but I want to warn us. And my job as a preacher and every preacher is to warn you. And say, this is wrong. Don't do that. And yet people go off sometimes and they say, well, I'm going to listen to that nonsense. That's crazy. Preachers using fairy tales and old fables. No, I'm telling you what the book says and how it's always proven to be true. One of Satan's greatest lies is he doesn't exist. If Satan can get you to believe he doesn't exist, half the battle's won right there. Now, after Samuel disobeys God and doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and he makes an excuse for why he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And by the way, everybody's always got an excuse on why they can't do what they're supposed to do. We always do. Why didn't you do that? We come up with something. Sometimes it may be a good excuse. Why weren't you there? Well, I was sick as a dog. I couldn't be there. Okay, we'll give you that one. But sometimes, it always comes down to you do what you want to do in life. You do what you want to do in life. You really want to be somewhere, do something, you'll do it. Did you read your Bible today? I didn't have time. Well, let's check your phone to see how much screen time you had on Facebook today. Let's see how much tweeting you did. Or maybe you got off Twitter because now you don't like the guy. The guy just bought it. Or maybe you're happy because he bought it. Who knows? Or how much TikToking you did. There's one I still don't understand and have no desire to even figure out. They all look crazy on that thing and not normal. All right? How much time do you spend doing that? Well, my friend, maybe we can sacrifice some of that time for the Word of God. The Word of God will change your life. Right. The words were found and I did eat them up. Oh, there's joy in reading the Word of God. Now, Samuel, the prophet, long before he dies, he says this to Saul. And I want you to pay attention to the rebuke that Samuel gives to the king. Verse 22 of 15. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Let me stop right there. What's he saying? He says, it's better for anybody to do what you're told to do than in giving a sacrifice. Well, I'll do it later on. I'm going to do this later on. I realize I couldn't do it then, but I'll just do what you're supposed to do. Obey God in the first place. And he says, verse 23, for rebellion, what's the rebellion? Rebellion is the disobeying of God's word, is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, there's something I want you to understand. God rejected Saul from being king. He didn't reject him and send him to hell, but he rejected him from being king. I believe Saul was a saved man. As we understand salvation in the Old Testament, I believe he was a saved man. Evidence is clear of that when he becomes king. He's a saved man. But we see a saved man going awfully wrong in his life. And when you go awfully wrong in your life, bad things will happen to you. And Saul is going to learn a heavy price tag as he goes down this very bad road. It's going to cost him the kingship. It's going to cost his family the kingship. Many of his children will die in battle, and awful things will happen to him. And God didn't do any of that, by the way. That's because when you rebel, bad things happen. That's just the result. Every action has a what? Reaction, opposite and equal. Reaction to it. That's just the nature of the beast. Rebellion is at the sin of witchcraft. When we rebel against God, God said, you're just as bad as practicing witchcraft. Think about that. I don't like that Bible verse. I don't like God telling me that. God says, you're acting like a witch right now. This is why, by the way, I don't have anything to do with these horror movies. I can't stand the violence, the blood, the gore. They're all perverted. There's nudity. There's wickedness. There's just and the slaughtering. It's not of God. It's not of God. I don't like watching. I don't watch those documentaries on serial killers. I don't want to know anything about them. Demon possessed people. They're evil, and I don't want to fill my soul thinking about them and what they're doing. They're evil. It's dark. Don't fill your life with dark things. You're inviting things into your life that you don't want hanging around you. I know this to be true because I grew up in a home filled with it. And finally, we see in Samuel how in chapter 28, how he is rejected and he goes down to see a witch. Again, now I want you to think about this. Here's the king visiting the witch so the witch can get in touch with the preacher, so the preacher can get in touch with God. Think about that. You're the king going to the witch to get in touch with the preacher so he can get in touch with God. Let's put it another way. You're the king going to Satan to get in touch with the preacher to get in touch with God. How far does a person have to fall to think that is a good thing to do? Well, how good would it be to walk down the boardwalk eating a orange twist ice cream cone and say, hey, let me go in to see what the witch has to say here at the boardwalk. It's only $5 for one reading. What harm could it be? Now, because she could just be a little nothing next to nobody in there. But my friend, you shouldn't even bother with those things. Walk past them. Well, it's for fun. No, none of that's for fun. It's not for fun. They don't call themselves witches anymore. Familiar, they call themselves mediums now. They're all mediums. I've seen some of them. They look more like extra larges to me. But that's an old joke. But here we go. Now, there's some lessons from this journey. Very quickly. One, either we believe this book or we don't. Either witchcraft is wrong or it's not. Either God's revelation of the spirit world is real or it's not. Either what happened in this book, what God says happened with Saul and Samuel, and God gives us this little inside look real quickly into what he's doing here. The Old Testament is filled with these little flashes of a door opening around where we can see into that realm. Amazing, you preach on Satanism, everybody's... You preach on Jesus. Either we understand the battle that is going on or not. And Saul paid a price tag for his sin. Now, what did Saul expect to happen to him when he went to the home of a witch? First of all, the spirit medium was deceived more and more, encouraged to think that God's command could be broken and that there was no condemnation for practicing the occult. I want you to, here's a weird thought, but I want you to think about it very quickly, is that the spirit medium, this lady who obviously is deceived because she's frightened when Samuel shows up. It scares her half to death. But this encourages her more in her witchcraft. This encourages her. So a Christian is encouraging somebody to continue to go further in their sin. Also, she knows there's a price tag on my head for doing this, whether I do it good or not, or whether I'm a phony or fake or real, whatever. But now, there's no price tag for my sin. The king knows who I'm here, and the king's not going to punish me. When Saul asked the medium to bring up the dead person, he would name the... Again, he refused. By placing confidence in the realm of spiritism, Saul was encouraging this woman to continue in the evil of the occult. We have no idea what happened to the witch of Endor after this story. I'm sure she would flourish, and then later on when King David comes to power, she's going to have to go back into hiding because King David certainly is not going to put up with this. But today our world embraces witches. It's all over the place. Everybody mocks the Christians of the Puritans for the Salem witch trials of years ago. And we can go on about that. But if you go to Salem today, Salem is totally given over to the occult. The city of Salem, Massachusetts, is not a city that any Christian really wants to go to. It is completely given over to witchcraft. There are pentagrams on the street and occult shops everywhere in that town. It's not for a Christian to go to. There's a lot of places in this country Christians really don't want to go to. Unless you're going in there with a Bible and going to preach hell hot and heaven sweet. Saul, a second thing we learn is Saul, who was the seeker, was deceived. Saul thought that he could secure help, deliverance, and peace and security from this witch instead of from the Lord. Sitting there before the medium, Saul requested that she bring up Samuel for consultation. Now again, I want you to notice that Samuel seemed to appear without this woman having done anything. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't, listen, seances are bad. You have no, well, we did when we were kids. Listen, it doesn't matter whether you're a bunch of teenagers messing around in a dark room at night with a candle trying to talk to somebody dead, or whether you're going to have one real with somebody who claims to have spirit power. You don't go to those things. You have no business contacting dead people because you're not going to get in touch with a dead person. People are in heaven or they are in hell. And nobody's coming out of either one to talk to you. The only exception we ever see here is this case where God allows Samuel to come back and basically say, hey, Saul, tomorrow. And is gone. You're not going to get a special exception. What you will get is a spirit pretending to be grandma or grandpa or some other relative that you love dearly. That's the reality of it. But what I'm saying is considered nuts, but the rest of the world, isn't it amazing? Just think about this. People go to a witch. They'll go to that fortune teller. They'll read their palm. And people will walk out of there believing all that stuff, hook, line, and sinker, without a problem. I stand up and proclaim the eternal word of God. People go, I don't know about that. Oh, that witch. Oh, yeah, she knew something. You know, she knew my dog's name was Jay. And she really knew some stuff there. And listen, demons will know stuff about you. Demons know the past, they know the present, they don't know the future. So they're very good at that. Houdini, the great escape artist, believed in the spirit realm. And everywhere he went to visited fortune tellers trying to find somebody that he thought was real. And he always was able to prove how they're fake, phony charlatans and how they did their act. And he always had a fascination with the death and the afterlife. And he told his wife, after I'm dead, if there's a way to communicate with you, I'll come back and I'll talk to you. And, well, Houdini died, and his wife lived for years after that, and she never heard from him. Now, where did Houdini go? Well, I don't know his eternal state. It's either heaven or it's hell. But she never heard from him again. You're not coming back and talking, so don't bother even trying. All you're doing is inviting some demonic spirit into your house and inviting trouble into your home. We want deliverance, we want peace, we want security. The best thing you can do is know Jesus Christ, serve Him, love Him, and live for Him, and watch Him bless your life. I want you to notice that also here we see in this scripture story, Saul bowed down and he worshiped and he paid homage in 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse number 14. We see how he bowed down and he worshiped. Being told that Samuel had appeared, Saul immediately prostrated himself to the ground. And my Bible says that this is strictly forbidden. We are to worship, and we are to worship the Lord God alone. Why would the king now all of a sudden bowing down and worshiping Samuel? It's forbidden. Another thing we learn is Saul felt distress, danger, and alienation because his prayers were not answered. That was his, I can't get my prayers answered. Listen, when we disobey God, God may not answer us. He couldn't get a prayer from anybody. Thinking of Samuel and his life here, Saul and his life here, I'm sorry. How many people will turn to the occult? They'll turn to false religions. They'll turn to other things trying to get in touch with God. You want to get in touch with God? Bible says, cleanse your heart, you sinners, purify your hands, and get your heart right. Trust Christ as your Savior, and get in this book and let God work in your life. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You want a peaceful heart. You want freedom from anxiety. You want freedom from all those things. My friend, devote your mind to the things of Almighty God and stay away from things that will corrupt your mind or allow evil things to come into your mind. I don't have time for it this morning. Maybe it should be next week's message. But when King Saul, the Bible says, was troubled by an evil spirit, you know how they got rid of that evil spirit that was troubling King Saul? They brought David in, and David played his harp. And David, and Pastor Hoare, you want to get the front door? Saul was angry and mad, and David played his harp, and David played the psalms and sang good songs, and the evil spirit. You want peace in your home? Get the junk off the whatever you're listening to and put good music in your home. You can't listen to these demon-possessed, godless, infidels, whoremongers, and adulterers and expect to have the blessings of God in your life. That's awfully strong, preacher. Not just call it the way it should be called and the way it should be said. I worked in a building one time, and there was a basement, there was a bar, and then the apartments. We had to get a water line from the basement up to the second floor and third floor, and I had to cut through that bar to run that water line, and going in and out, up and down, in and out, up and down all day long. And finally, at the end of the day, I was depressed. I'm like, why am I so depressed? I was sad. I was depressed. I was miserable. And all day long, they kept playing that lousy jukebox in that bar. That stinking music on that jukebox, those drunks were playing in there. I said, I got no reason to be depressed. I got Christ. Christ loves me. And I got a wife. I got kids at home, and everything's good. But that music, that oppressing spirit, will weigh upon you. You can't listen to that nonsense. The Bible says, cast your cares upon him. Oh, preacher, I thought this was a happy day. No, it is a happy day. I'm having a good time. And we see here, Saul was to suffer the Lord's judgment because he was rejected. Again, rejected as king. Rejected as king. Samuel had been sent. And listen, my friend, sin has a price tag. We don't like this or not. Sin has a price tag. We pay for that in our bodies. We suffer that from our bodies. We do wrong things. Bad things happen to our bodies. Bad things. It's like throwing a rock into the river. The ripple goes on. Be careful what we do. That's why the preacher and other preachers warn you, don't do these things. They'll have a ripple effect in your life that you may pay for the rest of your life. Be careful of these things, my friend. The spirit realm, and closing quickly, the spirit realm is a serious thing. And God gives us a little insight into it right now. And tomorrow, as the world celebrates, they'll have their parades. Also, they don't show you what goes on, especially New York City. They're horrible parades. They'll show you a few things, but my friend, they're horrible, horrible, perverted, godless things. That is darkness. And what fellowship has light with darkness? Amen. Come out from among them, the Bible says, and be clean. We are to separate ourselves from those things. We are to witness to them. We are to love them, people. We are to care for them, but we are not to participate in the things that they participate in. We are children of the light, and we are to, and light is to dispel darkness. That's his job. Let's stand together for prayer. Father God, we thank you this day for the word of God, Lord. As the world celebrates Halloween, we celebrate, Lord, your goodness and your mercy, the good things that your creation provides for us. All the things we will do today, the things we'll partake of, Lord, you've provided and given us all things to enjoy. You're a good God. You've loved us. You've shown us mercy. You've provided for us. And most of all, you've given us a Savior who loved us and died on Calvary's cross to pay our sin debt so that we could be free from it and have Christ. I pray, dear God, that you'll bless this time, this hour. Now speak to hearts through your word. May Christ be honored and glorified. In his name we pray with thanksgiving.